You can support this podcast on patreon.com/firstpawmedia.
Next up on the rock and roller tour across America is Tool at the Tacoma Dome in Washington. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Robert.
And we are the Rockin' Coasters podcast, where we share our love of music and roller coasters on epic trips across the country.
Welcome to the Rockin' Coaster Podcast, presented by First Paw Media. Whether your favorite is a Giga, a Steel Dive, or old Woody roller coasters are your thing, or you're a fan of classic rock, hard rock, or grunge, we talk about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country in search of the best roller coasters and music festivals. Sit back and enjoy the show.
This was the first concert of 2022, and Robert and I headed down to Seattle from Anchorage for a quick out-and-back trip, meaning we fly down the day of the show and fly back the next. We arrived early and rented a car and checked into our favorite hotel by the airport, the Hilton Garden Inn. It always helps to be a Hilton Honors Gold member, as they allow early check-ins and even free snacks. Around 3 o'clock, we headed south on I-5 in the pouring rain, and it took forever to find decent parking. We found a spot in a garage a few blocks away from the dome and grabbed dinner at a small diner that was packed with new Kraken fans watching the game on every TV in the joint. It is great to see how much Seattle and the Pacific Northwest has come to embrace the new, albeit old, NHL team, and we are looking forward to catching some games too. In fact, we are on the season tickets waiting list. Why does all this matter on a rock concert podcast? Well, being a part of the waiting list allows us access to pre-sales to all of the concerts, shows, and events at the new Climate Pledge Arena. We have already scored great seats to the Slipknot show and others.
After dinner, we headed over to the venue and stood in the rain for what seemed like an hour while people tried to figure out what was going on with the vaccination cards and security screens. We arrived about an hour and a half before the opening band and had great seats, front stage center, in the section above the floor. These are always our choice of seats when we're attending a show inside a venue, and we'll pay extra for them if they are available. The Tacoma Dome is ancient. I remember seeing Metallica here way back in the day, in 89 or 90, and it was old then. The place is better suited for rodeos and monster truck bashes, but hey, let's see how it goes.
All right, guys, we're finally inside, and we've made it to our seats. Up first is a band called Blonde Redhead, and I don't know anything about this band, and it was not my favorite, but I could see why they were on the bill. Blonde Redhead is an American alternative rock band composed of Kazoo Makino, who's on vocals, keys, rhythm guitar, and twin brothers Simone and Amedeo Pace, drums, keys, and lead guitar, bass, keys, vocals, respectively, that formed in New York City in 1993. The band's earliest albums were noted for their noise rock influences, though their sound evolved by the early 2000s with the releases of Misery is a Butterfly in 2004 and 23 in 2007, which both incorporated elements of dream pop, shoegaze, and other genres. They have released 9 regular studio albums and have toured internationally. What is noise rock and shoegaze, you may ask? Well, noise rock is a genre of music that is characterized by the expressive use of noise within a musical context. This type of music tends to challenge the distinction that is made in conventional music practices between musical and non-musical sound. Shoegaze is a subgenre of indie and alternative rock characterized by its ethereal mixture of obscured vocals, guitar distortion and effects, feedback, and overwhelming volume. Well, sort of like Tool, but not exactly. They played about a half an hour and included Falling Man, Spring, and By Summer, Fall, and 23.
Tool ranks up there in my top five bands of all times. I have tried for years to get Michelle into Tool and have mostly been unsuccessful. During lockdown, we even went down the Tool rabbit hole and learned how Tool, and particularly Keenan, is obsessed with numbers, the afterlife, mysticism, and more. If you're a Tool fan, this is nothing new to you, but I love this stuff. I was excited to see the tickets pop up on the Tool fan page and grab them as soon as I could on the first day. This is the second leg of the Fear Inoculum tour that was cut short in early 2020 when the pandemic hit, and the show in Salt Lake City was probably the best concert experience I have ever been to. I went to that show with my buddy Nate and his friend, and it will be something that I measure every show from now on against. It was simply amazing. I know it would be really tough to compare a show like the Salt Lake City one to this one in an old drafty barn, but we will see.
So kids, who is this band Tool? Tool is an American progressive metal band from Los Angeles, California, formed in 1990. The group's lineup has included drummer Danny Carey, guitarist Adam Jones, and vocalist Maynard James Keenan. Since 1995, Justin Chancellor has been the band's bassist, replacing their original bassist, Paul D'Amore. Tool has won 3 Grammy Awards, performed worldwide tours, and produced albums topping the charts in several countries. Here's a fun fact. Tool was our daughter Nicole's first concert that she ever attended, on her 12th birthday, no less, with Robert. Mom was not in tow. 2 things she always talks about. Why did the lead singer do the whole show in his whitey tighties? And that some nice people standing next to her bought her dinner right before the show. Tool is as earnest a band as the world has ever known. Their music is heavy, droning, and precise. Their lyrics are dark, brooding, and serious. Speaking of serious, if you are a Tool fan, you know that Maynard takes his privacy seriously, and the band had the requisite warning signs: no pictures or recordings allowed from cell phones. The alert was reiterated over the loudspeakers, and ushers rushed to enforce the bylaw, scolding anyone whose camera was pointed at the stage. But the funny thing was, this show was one of the most visually stunning arena spectacles I've ever witnessed. If ever there was a concert worthy of a visual keepsake or an Instagram story, this was the one. We'll talk about this more in a bit.
Promptly at 8:45, the quartet took the stage, cocooned by a 50-foot-high translucent curtain. The Eastern-influenced instrumentation of Fear Inoculum started with guitarist Adam Jones at stage left, bassist Justin Chancellor stage right, and drummer Danny Carey keeping the beat with his drum set on a riser in the center. Projections of a giant multi-armed man rotated around the curtain and simultaneously over the backdrop. Eventually, Mohawked vocalist Maynard James Keenan had made his distinctive voice known, by which time the trip had begun. Shifting visuals that made the band appear to be in the middle of the desert fluctuated to lava flowing and then into colored images swirling into the ether. The visuals, coupled with the grooves of the music, had the effect of making you wonder what exactly was in that cup you just drank from.
Well, I remember what was in my cup. Tacoma, Washington, are you sure you're ready for this shit? Maynard asked. The crowd, mostly dressed in black, of course, certainly was. They pulsed their fists into the sky. They practiced their air drumming skills. And when Tool played their most popular song of the set, The Pot, they sang along to every single word. You must have been high. I'm not sure if it was the energy pent up from the quarantine, but it should be emphasized how tremendous the crowd was. This was not the stereotypical laissez-faire Tacoma audience the stepbrother of Seattle has earned a reputation for. Beforehand, I wondered how the response for art rock openers Blonde Redhead would be. They are as bare bones as Tool is excessive. But the early arriving audience was attentive and enthusiastic as Kazoo Makino and Amedeo Pace took turns singing out their sonic, noisy lullabies. While they were appreciative and respectful toward Blonde Redhead, the fans went nuts for all 2+ hours of Tool. As the main set drew to a close, the band didn't opt for the nonsense ritual of disappearing and making everyone chant encore. Instead, a digital clock counted down from 12 minutes. After the break, Carey took to his drums for his solo instrumental Chocolate Chip Trip, which let him show off skills reminiscent of Neil Peart's antics with Tool's musical forefathers, Rush. Here's another fun fact. Did you know that Carey called his drum solo Chocolate Chip Trip on the album because at the studio where they were recording, a lady was constantly baking chocolate chip cookies for them, and by the time the tracks were laid, Carey said,
"It was all a strange chocolate chip trip."
Keenan spoke to the crowd for the second time in the evening and allowed the cameras to come out. "You can film the last song, but I'm going to cover some ground rules. Turn your fucking lights off, you amateur dipshits. You can figure it out. If you can't, ask your phone. It's a smartphone." And after that attempt of levity, Tool closed the night with Invincible, a song about the drudgery of making it through life.
I fully believe that Jones, Carey, and Chancellor are the best musicians today. Their attention to their craft is on a whole other level. Their music moves you in a way that no other band can. All fans know of Maynard's crazy quirks and idiosyncrasies, but in the end, it's all worth it. Who cares if we had to wait more than a decade for the new album by these guys? It was worth every last second seeing these guys perform to near perfection on the record and live. I remember seeing these guys live for the first time way back in the day at Lollapalooza, and then again with my daughter for her first show. I just hope that after this experience, Michelle will agree that this is the greatest live band in the world. Michelle, do you agree?
I agree to a certain point. I enjoyed the visual dance that was part of the experience, probably more so than the music itself. I also gotta say, Robert, after we learned about the sequencing in their music and the math that's involved, I had a greater appreciation, not just for the art itself, but for the complexities of the math that is involved with music. It reminded me of my first adventure in music way back in sixth grade, where we had to learn our counts. And the most we ever did was 3-4 count. And correct me, I believe Maynard and the guys practice a
7-7 count.
That's right, a 7-7 count.
So, Michelle, before we close, we've talked about earlier about how Tool's music moves people. I don't know if you remember, since we're recording this months after the show. This show was in January, and it's now August. That's how far of a backlog we have. But do you remember that crazy guy, 3 or 4 rows down, who was just going absolutely ballistic to every song? I've never seen anything like it.
I think that he was having a coming to Jesus moment. He really seemed to be enraptured by the atmosphere, the music, and he was at church.
He was at church. And, you know, like I said, this is by far one of my favorite live shows at any level, whether it's in an arena, at a festival, in a cool place like Salt Lake City, at their pavilion. It was just awesome. So, Michelle, close us up.
We do hope that you like the new format of the new show. This is how we intend to cover events in the future on this podcast. We want to share our thoughts, our experiences, places to eat, and places to see as you hit up your favorite rock shows and theme parks across America. One last thing, did you know the single best thing you can do for our show is to tell your family and friends how to listen? And who knows, they may just become a rabid listener just like you. And hey, if you really want to show the love, head on over to patreon.com/firstpawmedia and become a patron. I'm Michelle Forto for First Paw Media and Rockin' Coasters Podcast. See you next time.